Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Ray and Tay Today. Talking sports with friends.
Fellas, just talk about sports.
Here it is, y'all. We're on the air. Sit in the sofa, throw your hands in the air. We're talking sports so you can come on and listen. NFL predictions, what you're missing? Nothing. We got you covered for college football, too. Every
fantasy football.
Friday, you.
Hello, hello, hello. There he is.
Can you hear me now? Hello, hello.
Yeah.
You're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and we are back talking some hoops and NBA. I tip my hat to Ray, who predicted the Super Bowl correctly, and the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Kelsey, Chris Jones, and the fellas, Kadarius Toney. And it was a very entertaining game. The Eagles lost, but we're here to talk NBA. Ray, we've seen so much history in our lifetime in the NBA. And we go from, you know, Mikan to Russell to Wilt to Kareem and Moses and Ewing and then Shaq and David Robinson, these great players. Jordan and Bird and Magic saving the NBA. But what we just witnessed and what we are witnessing from 38-year-old LeBron James, who entered the NBA with all the hype and King James and wearing 23 as a young high school man, and then now over 20 years later is number one all-time leading scorer and fourth in assists, and can wind up with 40,000, 10,000, and 10,000 when it's all said and done. And so I ask you today, where do you feel LeBron James ranks in the top 5 or 10 all time, and how should we look at and measure this accomplishment and this greatness?
Woo! So people who don't know Ray and Tay don't know that we've been talking this subject, and you can replace the names, for the last 40 years. So who is the top 10 in basketball and football and baseball? And obviously 40 years ago, LeBron wasn't around and Jordan wasn't around. And so the names were different, but the debate was the same, right? So now we need to check some of our assumptions, because as of about 10 years ago, you know, we were saying, oh, you know, it was kind of big man heavy, right? We were like, oh, yeah, you know, the big men were dominating the game in the 60s and 70s and even into the 80s. So we had guys like Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and we had guys like that who were dominating the all-time great Mount Rushmore of the NBA. In the 80s and into the 90s, the game changed, and it became at least, obviously in this era, it's a guard and a wing game, right? There are very few dominant big men. I mean, you got Giannis, but he's kind of a big man. He's a modern age big man, right?
I think it's the new rise of the big man with Jokic and Embiid and Giannis. I think
they're
coming back.
But they play a different game, though. They do. But they play a different game. They're not back to the basket, patrol the paint. You know, physical down low, high percentage shooters. I mean, these are cats that are passing and shooting threes and, you know, doing a bunch of different things that your old classic big men, old school classic big men didn't do. So in that context, the game has changed. And so you got to think that guys like LeBron, and in particular LeBron and Steph, they introduced a different game. Could you imagine if I told you that a guy, 6'8", 240, 250, who doesn't even, scoring is not even his best asset, Like, if you thought about the top 10 scorers in the NBA, if you thought about Jordan and you thought about Nowitzki, you thought about Wilt, and you thought about Kobe, and you thought about
Karl Malone,
and you thought about, you know, the rest of the top 10, Carmelo now. The number one thing you would say is, oh, they're great scorers. If you think about LeBron, that's not the first thing you say about him. And yet and still, he's the top scorer in the NBA history. So a guy whose number one attribute or number one, you know, quality isn't even scoring is the NBA's leading scorer. I mean, that's pretty amazing. Averages 27 a game. Somebody said something that if you entered the – in order to catch LeBron, let's say LeBron stopped, he'll score something like 40, 41, 42,000 points. So he's going to put it even farther out of reach. But if you played today, if Eric Taylor went into the NBA as a 19-year-old, 20-year-old, and you played 82 games a season, you would have to score 25 points a game for 20 years and never miss a game to catch LeBron. Never miss a game and score 25 a game from your very first game.
So I mean, is there somebody like a Luka? Luka, you know, that maybe has that potential coming in young and putting up those type of numbers that maybe could have the longevity since he's not a great athlete?
Well, the one good thing about coming into the league now is they don't play much D. It's not very physical. But I think that Kawhi Leonard, you know my feelings for Kawhi. I love that guy. But he ushered in this era of load management. And I don't think anybody will play 82 games AC Green style. You know, I don't think anybody will play 82 games, you know, ever. And so you have to have longevity.
And that's analytics. Now let's not just put it on the players and Kawhi, because, you know, Stephen A. says all the time, the players are like, yo, I want to play. But it's the analytics, the general managers, the presidents who are making the players sit. So it's a organization decision.
You know, fair enough. But for whatever reason, people don't play 82 games. So that notion of 25 points a game, playing every single game for 20 years, that'll never happen. So that means that you need to score 27, 28, 29 a game and still play 70, 75 games a year for 20 years. And even that's going to be hard to do. Like I said, the one good thing is the game is more open now. It's more scoring. The three-point line, you know, people are free to shoot 7, 8, 9 three-pointers a game. And so if you can shoot and if your body can hold up, then you have a chance. But you have a chance to score 30,000 points. I don't think you have a chance to score 40,000 points, right? To have a dude be able to score 40,000 points, which is what you're going to need.
We're kind of losing you a little bit.
Is incredible. But back to your question.
We're losing you a little bit. You're fading away.
But we always held two things against him. We always said that he wasn't a great clutch.
Ray, we can't really hear you. Something happened with your audio. You hear me?
More championships than he lost. So you know, if Michael 6-0 and even Kareem.
Yeah, no, Ray. Listen, we can't. We can't really hear you. We can't really hear you. Your audio has stepped away, so we can't really hear you, Ray. Can you hear me?
Of free agency, if Kareem, and not to take anything away from Kareem, right? But Kareem's teams were stacked, and Kareem.
I don't know if Ray can hear me.
With another Hall of Famer.
Can you hear me, Ray?
Whether it's Oscar Robertson or whether it's Magic and Worthy and you know, even a guy like Bob McAdoo. And so LeBron, for the first half of his career in Cleveland, was playing with Ubi Gibson, Anderson Varejao, and he was playing with some dudes that were like, okay.
No, LeBron didn't have great players, but Ray, we can't really hear you that well. You got to fix your audio.
Championship in 2007 against the Spurs, they had no chance.
Ray.
And then he had to essentially an all-star team in Miami. And, yeah, he lost that one against Dallas, but ultimately won two out of the 4 years he was there. He won with the Lakers.
So Ray's talking about, you know, LeBron and his scoring.
Kyrie.
He's also lost six times in NBA Finals. So I think, to me, that notion of being 4-6 is not as much of a drawback as it may have been historically. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm slowly coming around to Bron is a top five NBA player.
Yeah, Ray, well, hold on, Ray, we can't really hear you.
And even the top three, and even potentially some people saying he's number one, you get to some real sticky, close arguments. But I think that there's no doubt in my mind that he's certainly top five, almost certainly top three, and could even, you know, I could make a case. I wouldn't, but I would hear you if you made a case that he's top one or two.
Ray, can you hear me? Ray? Can you hear me? So Ray's audio has been really bad, but I don't know if he can hear me yet. So
I hear you now. You hear me?
Okay, yeah, your audio was bad. I was trying to get your attention because nobody could really hear what you were saying. But it was very faint in the background. But so what I would say is this. You made great points, and I would say that when we start to look at the list now, I mean, you and I tend to be more old school. We saw every game, basically, of Jordan and LeBron. You know, we didn't get to see Wilt and Russell and Oscar, but we have read and know the stats in and out and the respect and have, you know, always, you know, really looked to the elders to guide us on how great these guys were. Same with Jerry West and, you know, all these old legendary players, Clyde Frazier, everything. And right now, if I'm being honest, I think what I love is that Kareem being there, it also brought a light for the younger generation to go Google and look at Kareem, who's the greatest winner besides Russell of all time, because he won on every level from Power Memorial, right, where my dad knew him and he came to my house, from UCLA, from, you know, the Bucks, the Lakers. Kareem is the captain and the greatest scorer with the most unstoppable shot of all time. And I still think he is number three, because I think with this feat and being number four in assists all time, LeBron James has now clearly, to me, moved up to number two. And what I think people don't realize about Kareem, I believe it's nine first team all defenses. So Kareem really young, you know, we think of him later years with the Lakers, but his younger years, he was a great defensive player and a shot blocker. So Kareem is just, you know, you can't scream his accolades enough off the court and on the court. And now he's most proud of the kind of the humanitarian award that they give to players now that's named after Kareem. And, you know, I guess the question that, you know, the thought and the things that we have to really think about is, besides LeBron, and we've talked about Steph winning this title this past year, him potentially moving in the top 10, either, you know, knocking out a Bird or an Oscar Robertson or somebody like that, you know, but this list is fluid. But I would agree that Jordan is still number one, but I think that there's a great argument and statement with all of the stats, you know, that LeBron now has kind of edged past Kareem. The thing is that, you know, Curry could maybe get another one. We don't know if LeBron will get another one at 4-6, like you were saying. Is there anyone else that can even, you know, whether it's the Durant or the Kawhi Leonard? And I think this is a big season, you know, as we kind of talk about, and we'll get more in depth into it, the NBA trade deadline. But now Kevin Durant being a part of a potential big three or big four in Phoenix with CP3, Booker, and Ayton this year, potentially next year. But this is a great opportunity for Kevin Durant to kind of reclaim his career, maintain his health, and then at the same time, Ray, potentially, you know, get a third ring that could put him in another place. And we already know he's a top three all-time scorer in terms of average, you know, him, Will, you know, Jordan, those guys. But, you know, do you feel that Durant can climb in, or a Kawhi or anyone else to climb in to join, or is he already there to join Steph potentially in the top 10? I mean, definitely top 15.
So I think Kevin Durant, we did our list a couple years ago of the NBA's top players. I think Kevin Durant is firmly in that top 15. For him to take it to the next level would mean at least two more championships. I think he's done the scoring title. He's done the MVP. He joined a Golden State team to win two championships, but he was the best player on that team. So let's not get it twisted and say, oh, he rode Steph Curry and Clay and Draymond. No. He was the best player on the court, on that team, in those two championships against the Cleveland Cavs. No doubt about it, he was the best player. Now, some people question, should he have built his own team, and he joined a 73-win team from the year before that had lost.
It's a fair criticism, though.
It is, but let's not pretend, and you know I got respect for Robert Horry, but he was not Robert Horry winning championships.
And like Barkley
contributing
tried to
another team, he was the best player.
Yeah, he was the bus driver. He wasn't a bus rider. He was the bus driver.
I like that, the bus driver. So I would have to say, in order to be top 10, you have to be transcendent. And so for two reasons. He's won four championships, two of them with Durant. But he's also changed the game. The game is now, you know, Trae Young is a manifestation of Steph Curry, right?
Curry, yeah.
People pulling up from 25 in high school, which I think is horrible, but people pulling up from 25 feet in high school and in college is because Steph Curry mastered that shot and actually made it an offensive weapon.
Dame Lillard shoots from far too, like Curry, and he's really underrated, Dame Lillard, because he hasn't
won anything. Yeah, Dame Dollar, he's got to get out of Portland and win some championships. But, you know, so he's got a chance. So what does it take for Kevin Durant to jump in that list? I think Kevin Durant has to elevate another franchise. Now, it's kind of interesting that he went to Phoenix, where he's got Booker. You know, he's already playing with Booker and Paul, and Ayton's a very good – he's a good player. So we'll see how much credit we give him, you know, for what he does in Phoenix. But I think he's got to win at least one, if not two more championships, and he's got to have a little more longevity. So in other words, he's got to stay healthy. The other player to me to look at is Giannis. Giannis has a chance to break into that group because he's redefining what that, you know, combo 4-5 does. He's sort of like Tim Duncan in a different way, right? His game is totally different. But, you know, when Brooke Lopez is on the floor,
he's a legit four. I wouldn't consider
Giannis
not, a five.
He could be a five, right? He could be a five like anybody's business. He runs, he defends, he does everything that you need him to do. He's an MVP. He had one of the best finals and one of the best closeout games of any person in any sport, right? 50 and 19 and like 18 for 19 from the free throw line when they said he couldn't shoot free throws. So he's amazing. You know, I would have to say that those are the two guys right now. Nikola Jokic has won two MVPs, but he's still early in his career and he has to win some championships.
Yeah, but he's looking like he's on his way to a third. Oh, my goodness.
He's amazing. He's amazing.
Oh,
and you know what I feel sorry for is Joel Embiid coming in second. Joel Embiid's seasons, the last 2 years that he's
been amazing.
Have been amazing. I mean, if you look back in the last 50 years, they probably would have won NBA MVP in 40 of those years. I mean, his seasons have been unbelievable. It's just that Jokic has been a little more, like you used to say,
but consider this, Jokic could get the number one seed, potentially a title, and average a triple-double. That's like Wilt-type stuff, what Jokic is doing. His passing, I mean, it's incredible. Like, and this guy jumps like 2 inches off the ground. It's insane. Somebody made a great point that they said that Jokic is like the futuristic, taller version of Larry Bird. And you can kind of see that. You know, it's definitely.
You know what's great
is that the guys we mentioned all play such different games, right? Think about from like tallest to shortest, right? Think about Embiid, Giannis, Jokic, Durant, LeBron, and Steph. The six of them are all MVP candidates, all first ballot Hall of Famers, potentially if they all live up to their potential and stay healthy, could all be top 15 NBA players, and their games are totally different. Like, not even close. None of them play the same game. So it's beautiful.
Well, no, and I think a credit to David Stern and Adam Silver and Jordan, Magic, and Bird and that Dream Team for really expanding the growth of the NBA, that if you play hoops, whether you're from Nigeria, the Congo, Syria, Croatia, you know what I mean, anywhere in the world, that you can be found and you have a chance for, you know, to show your talents and skills. Lithuania. One thing that I think is interesting, because I want to start to, you know, get into the current NBA season and obviously the trades and looking at it, but to kind of put a cap on the history part of this, I think over time, Magic and Kobe look better than maybe where we thought they were when they retired. And just in terms of the fact that, like, there's still a huge camp out there. You know, Kobe's got maybe the most loyal fans ever. But there's a huge camp out there that feels like you can't put LeBron over Kobe because he's 4-6 and Kobe has 5. You know what I mean? Shaq has 4. But there's still some people who feel like Kobe and Duncan, you know, and Magic are, like, have been almost underrated. And people are re-looking at their greatness and their stats. As much as we love and respect Giannis, I mean, you still have to look at, like, not just the longevity, but the extension of the dynasty and constant winning from Tim Duncan, who is, when you think about a franchise with him and Pop, with, you know, not always the greatest teammates, like good, solid players, and Ginobili and Parker and then an older Robinson and a Sean Elliott and then a Kawhi, but not you would not say like, oh, it's the best roster that he's playing on. Tim Duncan really, because well, Tim Duncan, what, left at 5-2, correct? Or 5-1? No, 5-2, because he lost to Miami and then he lost – to Detroit, right? I think he lost to Detroit. So, you know, that's really impressive. And so to me, Kobe, Magic, and Duncan, I feel like are kind of like nudging up in the all-time great conversation just as you peel back and start to compare some of these new guys we want to enter and, you know, look at a more critical eye of maybe Oscar and Wilt. You know, it's fascinating. And I think it's something
and
that
think about Timmy
can
for
be debated forever.
Think about Timmy for a sec. Timmy's 5-1 because, you know, he lost to the Heat, but they basically beat the Pistons the year after the Pistons had
okay, so it is 5-1. I wasn't sure, and that's so impressive.
It's 5-1, right? He only lost once to the Heat, but think about this: he's also 5-1 and basically played what is it 19 years, and he has 5, and Kobe has 5. So the two of them had 10 of the 19 championships, right? It's almost like that golden era of tennis that we're witnessing, where Nadal, Djokovic, and Federer have each won 20 and then 22 and 23 Grand Slams, but they're all beating each other. So if one of those guys or two of those guys weren't around, another guy, you know, one of them would have 30 Grand Slams. So these guys all went up against each other, and we got to give them credit for that too.
No, that's a great point, you know, and I think it's just fascinating. It's always fun to talk about. You know, I definitely have kind of started to kind of zoom out and then relook at Kobe and Magic and Duncan and kind of like almost find like a new appreciation. I mean, Magic was 5-4. You know what I mean? You know, the other side of LeBron kind of more in the winning. And, you know, Magic
5-4,
did
but
it.
It's no shame to lose to Larry Bird, McHale, and Parrish, and then that 1 year with Moses, Doc.
Dr. J, and then Michael Jordan. You're losing to, like.
Yeah, and then Michael Jordan at the end of his career. Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
and, you know, I will say this. I'm not going to lie. It does kind of upset me because I think, you know, we still had them in our top 25 when we did our list. They're probably not top 15 anymore. But you know what I mean? But like Moses and Dr. J, man, they don't need to drop too far in any list. You know, Moses Malone.
Yeah, you know, out of sight, out of mind. I wish these kids
we forget what Julius, but Ray, what Julius did with the Nets and the ABA. Oh, my God. The stats are absurd. He was super uber good. You know what I mean? And so I think that's one of those things where, you know, maybe one day we'll have to maybe revisit the small four competition. But listen, I sent so off air, I sent Ray this kind of like funny video, but it was interesting. It brought up some interesting subjects where when you compare just LeBron and Jordan, people in barbershops and all over the world kind of criticize Jordan's competition at the two guard, right? Kind of getting on Ainge and but I think people do forget it was still Drexler, Mitch Richmond. But you know, when I did start to think about it, like in the East, the shooting guards were him, Reggie Miller, John Starks, Greg Hill.
Joe
could put some goals.
Could, but if you recall, and the one thing that I don't like about that analysis is that they played against Jordan, a whole team played against Jordan, right? If you look at the Jordan rules, what the Pacers
were loaded
did.
Defensively, and the teams were loaded with talent. And so I think it's kind of like it's more of a criticism, but it is true when you're just looking at the individual position. If you're being honest, the students are not up to snuff. I mean, only people really Jordan's level, maybe Drexler and Richmond. Maybe kind of
fair.
Touch him.
No, that's a fair argument.
You know what I mean?
But you know, the
Reggie
much
Miller
more
didn't play defense.
Game, but it was a much
oh,
more
yeah.
physical
Jordan
game.
Jordan went through the most physical abuse that any legendary player ever went through, without a doubt. Like they were killing Jordan. Whether it was the Celtics, the Pistons, even the Cavs would get physical with Nance and Hot Rod Williams. You know, Utah was physical. The Knicks were crazy physical. I mean, Jordan went through the Sixers, you know, could be physical. Jordan went through a lot of tough, tough battles. I mean, the Pistons were just beating him. But, you know, Mike is still, 6-0 and could have gone. I mean, let's be honest, he could have gone 8-0. I mean, we just don't know because he stepped away.
Right. And the year he came back, he just wasn't himself in that Orlando series. And then Orlando ended up winning.
Well, because he came back like 2 months before the playoffs. I mean, you know.
Right, of course.
It wasn't like he was really back. But we got to give Kenny and Jackson credit for that, though, too, though. They still got it done.
Yeah, I wish that finals had been a little more competitive than a 4-0 sweep against Akeem the Dream and that Houston team. But that was the beginning of, you know, Penny Hardaway and Nick Anderson. And obviously Shaq did his thing in Orlando and then made his way over to L.A., the great Jerry West pulling his magic.
No, definitely. So, Ray, I want to go to the current standings, look at that a little bit, and then talk about who really improved for the trade deadline. So in the East, you know, the Celtics are up top, you know, with 41, and it's basically Boston, Milwaukee, Philly, Cleveland really having a great year with a talented roster at 4. Brooklyn, you know, they did get back a lot of versatile talent, but, you know, being 5 games back at 5, in the fifth seed, you could see them dropping a little bit. I don't know if they'll drop out of the playoffs because, you know, with Dinwiddie and Bridges and Johnson and, you know, the different guys they have, that they actually have a very it's a nice little roster. You got the Miami Heat at six, our New York Knicks, Ray. Nobody thought at 32-27 of the seventh seed having a heck of a season. The Hawks at eight. And then when you start to get into the play-in stuff, you know, you're looking at Toronto, who's one of the biggest disappointments of the season, you know, at nine, and then the Wizards at 10. Are you also disappointed in the Bulls, or do you think that's, you know, not having Lonzo is kind of, you know, and can they, I haven't even heard when he's coming back, but can the Bulls, well, I guess they're only, you know, they're half a game behind the Wizards, can they get into the play-in? But so give me your thoughts just on, you know, the Eastern Conference moves. Toronto obviously not making any moves after they, you know, put out Obinobi and Pascal and Van Fleet, but they were, it's almost like they were just measuring to see, like, what do people want to give for them, and maybe they make some moves in the offseason, but they've had a disappointing season. Same with the Hawks. We thought DeAndre Murray, well, I mean, with Murray and, you know, Trey, that they would be more impressive. What are your thoughts on the East, and who made moves that you think could really help them in the Eastern Conference?
You know, it's funny. I thought the East was going into the season was top heavy, and I still think that. The only thing is that Cleveland jumped into that mix, obviously, picking up Donovan Mitchell in the offseason. And so the Celtics, the Bucks, the Sixers, you know, it should have been the Nets were the cream of the crop. And then the question was Miami getting too old, too long in the tooth? Did they still have some juice? And so that, those were the top five teams. Now, Cleveland broke into that group, obviously, with Mitchell. And of course, they have that young roster, Darius Garland, Evan Mobley. They're really good. None of these teams did anything major. So they all did some minor tweaks, right? The Celtics pretty much have the roster that they need. The Bucks got Jay Crowder,
which is actually a very underrated move.
Well, it is, but the problem is he hasn't played basketball in who knows in like 8 months. So hopefully, you know, he'll get that rust off and they'll be
but
able to incorporate
him. But the question is, where's Middleton?
Him.
They need Middleton. They're in second right now without Middleton. That's what's impressive.
Right. Middleton has got he's a solid, solid player. I actually like his game very much, but he is definitely a bit fragile.
Injury-prone.
So,
yeah,
a little fragile. So the Sixers also were tempted to make some moves but didn't really do much. So really, Brooklyn was the seller, right? They got rid of Kyrie and they got rid of KD. So they're looking ahead, you know, for 3, 4, 5 years from now, because right now they're, you know, they're 33-24, you know, 8 games behind in the fifth seed, but they'll end up being 8th, 9th, 10th. I mean, they're gonna fade, even though there's, you know, what is it, 24-25 games left in the season.
I think they'll still make the playoffs, though.
You think so? Probably only because, look, I look at the teams, like, I can't really say Toronto, the Wizards, the Bulls are going to take them, but they're what, 4 or 5 games behind, ahead of both of those teams with 25 to go? It'll be close. They might.
Well, because Joe Harris, Curry, Dinwiddie, Bridges, Johnson, Claxton, who's had a good season, and Ben Simmons, they've got actually a deep, versatile roster that can pass and score and you know, play. If they play really team ball, I think that, yeah, they might. You know what's so funny? I'll tell you, they won't go below 7. They won't even be in the play-in.
Wow.
That's my pick. Yeah, okay. I really think so. Them and the Knicks could flip-flop. Now, the Knicks did get a little bit better. What do you think about, you know, Josh Hart?
Solid. Solid player. You know, it's funny because I saw that move and it was a number one pick. And to me, Josh Hart is a very good player for a championship contender. So to me, the Knicks are not that. the Knicks are a solid team that probably makes the playoffs in the East and maybe, you know, challenges for a first-round win, but that's about it. So I don't know that I love the – I mean, look, I always like having Josh Hart-like players on the team, and him and Brunson, the Villanova boys, are reunited. But to me, you know, I would have rather for him – and also for the Knicks' sake, to save that, you know, save that draft pick, I would rather see him go to an elite contender.
Like a Philadelphia,
go
or go help
Bucks,
Milwaukee, yeah.
Or Philadelphia, right, exactly. Yeah. So that's the only thing, like, go to Phoenix, go to, you know, go to a team that's, yeah. Go to Memphis, go to a team that's on its way and doing some big things, you know, in the playoffs. That's not really.
I
got to
tell you this, Ray, that upset me, and you know I hate giving up the first-round pick, even though it's protected. I don't like giving up Cam Reddish because at the end of the day, I've got to believe Cam Reddish is a three. Josh Hart is a combo guard. We've got a ton of combo guards in New York with Brunson, McBride, Grimes, Quigley. It's flooded at that position.
Barrett.
Barrett's a solid two, and he could play some three, but, I mean, he's not like a combo guard. But we don't have, besides Fournier and sometimes Barrett, you know, Toppin's a four. Randall's a four. We don't really have threes in our roster. So, to me, to give up Cam Reddish, who is a legit three and has not just crazy talent, but I think he has so much potential. And I think that's where I get upset with the Knicks and Tibbs because – okay, maybe he's not playing good enough defense, but nobody plays defense in the league. And if you have three or four guys on your roster like Mitchell Robinson and Brunson playing D, why not have a guy that can shoot the three, spread the court, and is so young, second year or third year out of Duke, and has nothing but potential? I just felt like they never gave him a legit chance, and I think that's
you know
a blessing for the Blazers.
Be a dating thing, like, is it you or is it me? Because
yeah.
Atlanta Hawks did the same thing. So clearly, Cam Reddish.
Well,
is
no, and that's what it is. He's not a great practice player. The criticism is he's not a great practice player, and he's not the defender. So yes, it's a wake up. Cam Reddish needs to adjust his, you know, effort, right? His basketball IQ. And become a better practice player. And I think maybe he'll, you know, maybe the bells have rung a little, and maybe with Lillard and Portland, he'll, you know, get the wake up. But I just, like you said, Hart doesn't move the needle that much. And I thought Cam had a lot of potential, you know. So, I mean, it is what it is. So let me ask you about Miami. Is their window closed? Because Lowry has gotten old really fast. Jimmy Butler is still legitimate. You know, and, you know, for all we know, could be Jordan's son. But Jimmy Butler is no joke. And Bam is solid, but Bam is just Bam. Like, he doesn't – I don't know. Is this Miami Heat roster – do they need to get Russell Westbrook in the buyout market, or is that even a smart option? What do you think about Miami?
They got to do something because this roster right now and, you know, Jimmy Butler putting the team on his back, he did that twice already, right? He did it in the bubble.
Yeah.
And then he did it last year. The weight is too heavy. You know,
poor guy needs some help, man.
Right. Not taking anything away from Jimmy, but he can't do it this year. I look at that top three, even four. I look at the Celtics, the Bucks, the Sixers, Cleveland, Miami can't beat those teams. So
no.
In
Miami,
order,
I think their limit is moving up to the five. They won't pass the five seed.
Well, if they go to five, then they'll lose. They could potentially lose to Cleveland in the first round. So, you know, maybe that their goal should be to get home court, and then hopefully play that Cleveland series at home. But yeah,
they can still lose,
you know,
it.
Yeah, that's it. So you're looking at a first round out team that's got, you know, they're a very playoff savvy team. They're a good, you know, a tough out, but they need somebody. They need juice. And maybe, you know, is it Russell Westbrook? I guess he's the only one that could move the needle. That's potentially available.
And I haven't heard any updates on with him in the buyout market because I heard it was the Heat, the Bulls, the Clippers, and you know, I haven't heard
right.
it.
Right. The
know,
Bulls don't make a lot of sense. I mean, well, maybe, you know, if he's the Lonzo Ball, right? Lonzo can't really shoot. Although Lonzo's shooting gotten better the last couple of years. But, you know, you're going to put him out there with DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine. That's a lot of people that want the ball in their hands. Although Russell doesn't need to score so much these days. I feel like he's content.
I think he's going to go to the Clippers and try to stick it to the Lakers. That's what I think. If the Clippers want him, that's where he'll go. Plus, he gets to stay at
home.
Well,
they have enough shooting that they don't really need him to shoot. So that's the one good thing about the Clippers. They have some outside scoring, and they really don't have a point guard, a true point guard that they've been
relying on. No, they traded him all away.
Well, that's why they blew up that roster. But, yeah, but, I mean, look, Reggie Jackson wasn't a real point guard. Luke Kennard wasn't getting real minutes. And so they have a chance now to –
And hopefully Eric Gordon still gives him something. So let's go to the West. So looking at the West, we have, you know, the Nuggets in first place, you know, with 40, and then a drop. It's almost like the Eastern Conference is actually a better conference this year when you look at the pure standings. The Grizzlies, 34 wins are in second. And then, wait a minute, I feel an old segment coming back. Does Ray have to say I'm sorry to Fox and the Sacramento Kings, and Mike Brown, Coach of the Year candidate? Because I told you that Fox was no joke, and you were like, Well, how about
you know what?
Is Sabonis
are
doing?
You're absolutely right.
This
I owe
is
them
the
a
team
big
of the
apology.
Season. I can't believe it. When I first looked at it, I was like, oh, my God, this is a I'm sorry from Ray, because, you know, Fox is not only in the All-Star game and Sabonis. They have two guys, and kudos to the Kings. But – I know I've been critical of Mike Brown, but I guess I have to say I'm sorry, too, from the coaching side and you on the player, because this is the story. I mean, 32-24, and they'll beat anybody on any night. So give Sacramento and them turning it around, a great fan base, a lot of credit. The fourth seed, you know, this is the Phoenix Suns, and give the Suns a lot of credit, because – with all the injuries, the controversies, the dramas, the owner, for them to be in the four seed is actually really impressive. Booker's been out. Johnson was out. Paul was out. I mean, so to be at this point at 31-27, I think they could wind up maybe moving up to the three or the two seed with Durant. And if he comes back after the All-Star break healthy, I haven't heard the update yet on that. Then we have the Mavericks now with Kyrie at five, you know, at 31. So they're basically, a half a game back with one more loss than the Phoenix Suns. The Clippers at six, and, you know, they're going to move up and get better. The Pelicans, who have to get healthy. Zion was dominating, and then he got hurt and has now missed over 20 games again, Ray, and it's just, like, so frustrating. So we'll see what happens there. Then at eight, you've got a really talented young Minnesota Timberwolves team, but they've had injuries, so maybe they can move. But Anthony Edwards is moving into that, like, I'm the guy and an all-star again. And then nine, oh, my gosh, we never imagined. The Golden State Warriors are the ninth seed in the Western Conference, 29-28, playing 500 ball. And then Utah.
Well, here's the thing. They have the fourth worst road record in the NBA. They're 7-21 on the road.
Oh, and did the trade go through, or did they cancel it?
No, it went through.
Okay, good. It went through. Okay, so they got
Gary Payton Jr., yeah.
That is great, because once he gets healthy and the ab or whatever is okay, that's what they need, a perimeter defender. Their defense has been terrible.
Yeah,
terrible.
But what a split though. 22-7 at home, 7-21 on the road.
It's crazy. It's really crazy.
Yeah,
and so can the Blazers or Lakers get into the play-in or the Thunder? I mean, the Lakers just lost back-to-back games to Portland and the Thunder, so they didn't help their cause at all. They did make a lot of moves. Do you like the addition for the Lakers of Mo Bamba, D'Angelo Russell, Malik Beasley, and Jared Vanderpool? I mean, is that
–
it's better.
It's interesting. I like all the moves that they made. So, in other words,
getting rid of Westbrook, because I don't think he was good for that team, and getting perimeter shooters. Get Malik Beasley's a volume three shooter, and he plays on the perimeter. And he plays D. They got D'Angelo Russell back, so I guess, you know, bygones are bygones with that whole thing with him and Kuzma. Remember 4 or 5 years ago when he was a, you know, 20-year-old?
Well, not just that. Remember he ratted out on Swaggy P, cheating on the rapper or whatever.
Yeah. And so, you know, he can offer them something that they really need. They need, you know, a guy to take the pressure off, a point guard who can score. He can shoot. He can create his own shots. He addresses what some of Russell Westbrook's weaknesses, particularly outside shooting. So I do like all the moves. The question is, are they enough? They've been a bunch of essentially, and Rui Hachimura, you can throw him in that trade deadline category.
Well, they beefed up their front court because Bamba and Hachimura really help out Davis.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I didn't hate Bryant, but obviously
Bryant's a little taller,
more shot blocking, and Hachimura gives him that stretch four that they can give him some. You can play him with Anthony Davis, or you can give Anthony Davis some rest. Definitely like the moves. I just think the West is so tough. I think the Lakers will find a way to sneak in, but they're only going to be an 8-9-10 seed. They're going to be in the play-in game almost for sure.
Well, as the Warriors get healthy, I mean, if the Lakers get in, they've got to climb three teams. And to me, I think that the best they can get is 10. And hopefully they can win in the play-in game because that's not easy, because what if you're playing the healthy Timberwolves or Pelicans or the rejuvenated healthy Warriors? Like, Lakers don't – I just don't know, you know? It's I'll tell you this. I think Dallas might play Sacramento in that 4-5. And I think that, you know, that's a series that Luka and Kyrie will advance. I don't know if Dallas can go past the second round, though. But I do like the move that they made.
I think Sacramento's the weak team in this group, even though they've had, you know, a nice record. I think that team hasn't been to the playoffs in like 15 years, and they don't have much in the way of playoff experience. So to me, that team's losing in the first round. So that's the team that I want to match up against, right? I don't want to match up against Denver, Memphis, Phoenix, Dallas, the Clippers. Everybody
Clippers,
has a weakness.
Phoenix in a 3-6 matchup. Ooh, that's a battle. Gosh. Durant against Leonard, first round? What? Get your popcorn. you said his name, and I actually think it was a really great move. Thomas Bryant to the Nuggets, Ray. It helps with the 4-5. He helped Aaron Gordon and Jokic. And, you know, Thomas Bryant has improved where he can hit a 12-footer now. And, you know, and he does a little bit of everything. So, you know, the big thing is the continued health of Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray. And if those guys get back to playing where they were in the play-in, the Nuggets could be in the NBA Finals. I just don't know if Memphis really has enough to bang with the Nuggets, or if anybody does, for that matter. You know?
I want to see this Nugget team at full strength. I want to see if they can maximize their potential. Obviously, they're an unbelievable regular season team. Nikola Jokic, like you said, might win three straight back-to-back-to-back MVPs. Haven't been done, I think since Bird in the 80s. But this is going to be an unbelievable Western Conference playoffs. I think the East is going to be second round and on, but the first round in the West is just going to be outstanding.
Did Jordan do it too, though, the back-to-back MVP? I feel like Mike might have done
it. I think he did, but this still will be back-to-back-to-back. This will be three in a row.
Right. No, I'm just trying to,
No, he didn't do three in a row. Remember, he had Karl Malone snuck in there.
Magic did.
At the beginning of his career.
It's so incredible. That's nothing to sneeze at. If Jokic could pull that off, you know. So The one thing that I would, you know, question, I mean, does Luka still need or can he still lead the league in scoring, right? He's first right now at 33 a game, barely edging out Embiid at 33. I mean, it's crazy the stats these guys are putting up. Then you got Giannis, Lillard, and how could we not talk enough about this kid? Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Ray. He is putting up 30 a game. Did you ever think
he
that
is.
That kid? It's incredible.
But here's my problem. Is he going to be in that Dame Lillard category of a guy who's so good, so talented, but in a West team that's so dominant that even Anthony Edwards with Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert, and they had D'Angelo Russell, can't move the needle in terms of playoffs. How
right. The one thing he
has
is a plethora of draft picks. And then who was the kid that got hurt, the number 2 pick?
Chet Holmgren. Yeah.
Yeah. So if he develops, the other kids that are there continue, Oku or whatever.
Giddy.
If they continue
develop. Oh, the kid from Alabama,
I mean, the one thing that he has is the next 2 or 3 seasons, they've got more picks than anybody. So it's about these picks kind of turning into, because they did what the Sixers did, right? And so if these picks turn into anything, the Thunder could, like, in 2 years quickly be like Philly and be super talented. So I think you could bet more on Shai potentially being able to move the needle and win than you could even Lillard, you know, because they have nothing. But Dame is still putting up 31 a game. I love y'all. You know how we feel about Dame Lillard. I mean, you almost want to say he might go down in NBA history, Ray, as one of the most underrated players ever.
He might. He absolutely might. He might.
And quite a step, your boy James Harden is leading the NBA in assists. That's crazy.
You know what's funny? He is, and yet I still feel like when I watch those games that Philly hasn't quite figured out who they are in playoff time. You know, between Maxey and, obviously Embiid's Embiid, right? But James Harden and Tobias Harris – and Seth Curry, like, who is going to take that shot? What player are you going to run? How are you? And this is going over the last 2 years, right? Ever since they've kind of transformed themselves.
Is that on Doc Rivers, or is it really on the roster and the players?
I think it's on Doc Rivers, frankly. I got to say that, it's one of those things where this is when you start putting in the playoff drive and you start to figure out who you are. And what you do.
But it's not like Doc stopped being a great coach. He was great at
Orlando.
No, I
didn't say he's not a great coach. I'm just saying this team, to me, looks like they're not quite in playoff form yet, because even though they're winning and they went on this winning streak, I still don't see them, sort of fixing and fine-tuning for the playoffs.
No, that's a great point. So let me just throw out these rosters as we get ready to go. So, Team Giannis is rolling with. And I just want to go back to East and West. So now what is it at the All-Star game itself? They're going to have a draft like in the playground? Is that what they're doing this year?
I got him. I got Pookie.
No, I think that's what they're actually doing, a draft right before the game.
I think so. I think you're right.
Okay, So I just want to make sure. So you have Giannis, Embiid, Kyrie Irving. Now, how does this work, though?
Is coaching them.
Yeah, I know. And I guess it doesn't matter because I was going to say Kyrie's not in the East anymore, and neither is Durant, but Durant's not playing. And because they're not drafting or doing East-West, it doesn't matter. But so Kyrie, Donovan Mitchell, and our boy Jason Tatum. So that's like legit. And then obviously, Kevin Durant, but he's not going to play. Ben Bam Adebayo, Mad props to him. And so I don't want to, you know, throw dirt on him because he's still an all-star and playing great. Jaylen Brown, your boy DeMar DeRozan, who holds it down for the Bulls, you know, who really they just, I don't know. Tyrese Halliburton, who could have been a New York Knick, and that makes my stomach hurt. The kid is uber talented. Drew Holiday, who's really stepped up without Middleton to keep Milwaukee at the number two seed. I think that Drew is another player like Lillard who's going to go down crazy underrated for his whole career. Is solid, and I'm glad he did get the chip, and maybe they get one more. Julius Randle representing our Knicks, and Pascal Siakam. What do you like that team? Team Giannis? The East?
Woo! You know, yeah. Look, anytime you have Giannis, you can run, you can defend, you can stretch. So,
yeah. I guess I shouldn't call it Team Giannis. It's called the East because Giannis and LeBron are going to draft, so we don't know, whatever. But that's, you know, that's fair. I mean, I don't know who they could have, you know, we wanted Jalen Brunson and, you know, different players got left off, whatever. So the West, LeBron, the Luka Don. I mean, gosh, this kid is a great young career. Luka Don is like, you can almost, without the winning, I say, compare him to Patrick Mahomes, but Patrick Mahomes is a winner, so we can't say that. Lauri Markkanen for the Jazz, and too bad the Jazz have dropped off all the way down to the 10 seed because they started off so great, but then, you know, things got kind of real.
It was a little smoke and mirrors, right? You look at that roster and you're like, they're not really
yeah,
that
no,
good.
I mean,
but good
know.
For Lauri Markkanen for coming out. You know, Arizona kid came, went to Chicago, not really that impressive in the first few years of his career, but now in Utah, he's doing big things.
Well, he does have crazy talent, and so I thought that it was just going to be a matter of time for him, and I was surprised the Bulls gave up on him. But, hey, you know, he's found a home in Utah. Ja Morant, who is we said that he's almost like Allen Iverson, like the futuristic diesel, you know, or steroids version. I mean, you know, not that he takes anything, but I'm just saying he's one of the most impressive athletes we've seen at the point guard position, like Westbrook and Derrick Rose, maybe even more explosive than both of those gentlemen, which is saying a lot. And he's got a winning spirit, Nikola Jokic. So that's the starters. Then, you know, off the bench, we got Steph Curry. He's not playing. He's hurt. Zion Williamson, I think he's getting replaced as well. Anthony Edwards, our boy, De'Aaron Fox. Fox is in the All-Star game. You got to love it for Sacramento. Paul George, who's just putting up a Hall of Fame solid career, even after that devastating injury. Shai Gilchrist-Alexander. And to round it out, Jaren Jackson and Dame Lillard. And then you have, and Sabonis. So, and I think Sabonis got put on to replace Zion, if I believe. I don't know. I get confused with all this stuff. But either way, should be entertaining. Anything you're looking for? Just obviously fun. But do you think any player stands out All-Star Weekend and says, like, this is my show or I'm the guy in the block now? Is it maybe Ja Morant's
it's
year?
It's Ja's turn, right? It's Ja's turn. Everybody else has kind of been there or just happy to be there, right? So the only two players that are really, truly, truly, you know, coming out are going to be Ja and potentially you could make the argument Jason Tatum, right? These are the guys that are going to be superstars. And
don't sleep on Anthony Edwards.
MVP.
We talked about him off air. Anthony Edwards might try to embarrass people in that game and show that
I love him. But I think those two are really at the point where they want to be, you know, considered All-NBA. So one thing missing from the All-NBA resume is an All-Star Game MVP.
That's true. So, well, it should be fun. You know, this was a fun show. We'll show up again later on for the playoffs or something. But you guys be safe out there. Enjoy NBA All-Star Weekend. Some games tonight and tomorrow. And I guess their final game on Thursday night before the weekend. And it's in Utah, right? So that should be interesting.
Yeah, Utah.
Yeah. All right. Well, Ray and Tay, we are out. And, hey, Congratulations to LeBron James for passing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as the number one all-time leading scorer.
He's also fourth in assists, right?
I know. We're out.